The Church of God the Eternal presents God Required Them to Wait. A message by Mr. John Brisby for The Night to Be Much Observed, April 8th, 2020.
It's an honor and a privilege to address you on the beginning of this seven-day Feast of Unleavened Bread in 2020. This is that night called the Night to Be Much Observed. Why should it be observed with relish, with joy, with exuberance? Because it is the feast that pictures the coming out of sin, the release from slavery. Physically, it was the slavery of those ancestors in Egypt, the Israelites. Spiritually, of course, even more importantly, it's about setting the people of God free from the bonds of sin. So last evening at the Passover service, we saw that Jesus Christ gave us the perfect example of patience. He did manifest incredible patience, which was a key element of the fulfillment of his role in God's plan for us. That same Christ was the God who also made Israel wait for physical freedom from slavery. He was the God of the Old Testament. Part of God's plan has always been for the people to require patience. It's an element of character building to have to wait. So let's see it. Tonight, Exodus 2, verse 23 through 25 to begin. Exodus 2, 23, "And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage." So God was well aware of their plight. He wasn't on vacation somewhere. He wasn't resistant to the needs of his people. Nonetheless, they sighed under the heavy burden of oppression. Verse 24, "And God heard their groaning. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob." Verse 25, "And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them." So God writes the account after the fact of what happened back then in Egypt. And this is how God sees it. How do you think the people saw it? At the time, they didn't really think God was that responsive to their cries, their groanings, to their sighs, because God didn't fulfill his promise to free them as soon as they would have liked. God says he fulfilled his promise to them, yet by man's calculation, they would call him a liar. And that's what human beings mostly do. Because their oppression at the hands of the Egyptians lasted more than 200 years. 200 years as slaves. Now, they were in Egypt longer than that, but remember, they didn't start out as slaves. They were blessed when they first came down to Egypt, and especially God's work through Joseph, a second in command in the Egyptian government. So they started off as a blessed people. In the course of time, the politics changed and they became slaves. Exodus 3, beginning in verse 7. Exodus 3, verse 7, "And the Eternal said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters." They were suffering under oppressors. "For I know their sorrows." He was not ignorant. He was not absent. He had not turned a blind eye to their suffering. He says, "I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey." Then verse 9, "Now therefore, behold," God says, "the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee," speaking to Moses, "I will send thee into Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So it was a glorious plan. Every element of it was happening right on schedule, perfectly. But the people who were experiencing it couldn't see that, even as you and I usually cannot see the timing that God is carrying out. How did God finally fulfill his promise? What was the great happy ending to this chapter with the release of the Israelites from their slavery? On this night to be much observed, we read it from Exodus 12 as a reminder of what it is we're celebrating with this banquet tonight to kick off this holy day, the first high day of unleavened bread, which is the first of 7 days of this unleavened bread feast. So here we read it, Exodus 12, beginning in verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Eternal will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Eternal will pass over the door, will not suffer the destroyer to come in into your houses to smite you. So instructions he gave to the Israelites how to be spared from this incredible curse that was going to unfold upon the rest of the people of the land. It wasn't that God didn't know where the Israelites were. It wasn't that the death angel didn't know exactly where their houses were without having blood on the doorposts. But this was part of God's plan to make the Israelites aware and to symbolize, of course, the beginning of the plan of salvation in the coming out of slavery, which begins with the blood of a lamb, symbolizing the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 24, and you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you come to the land which the Eternal will give you according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Eternal's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshiped. And so the physical exodus which took place, made possible by the miraculous intervention of God to set a slave people free from the greatest government power on the face of the earth at that time under Pharaoh, was a type of that which God was going to do later, to make a way for a spiritual people to come out from the bonds of this world and to be freed from the death penalty which they deserve through the grace of a loving God. So they did what they were required to do. Verse 28, the children of Israel went away and did as the Eternal had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Eternal smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle, their livestock. All firstborn, man and beast. Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Eternal as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, which was one of the things he'd been arguing with them about in the wake of the previous plagues. He was playing politics. Oh, sure, I'll let you go. Well, I'll let you go, but I won't let this. Not your animals. He wanted to re-enslave them. Moses, in the name of God, said, no, we will be unconditionally released and set free. Finally, Pharaoh was humbled by this final 10th plague to kill the firstborn. He called Moses and Aaron by night again, verse 31, rise up, get you forth from among my people, both you, the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as you have said. And also take your flocks and herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. The Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. They did come to have a respect for this God. They didn't love this God. They were afraid of him, though, because they knew he was powerful and he knew he was fighting for the Israelites, not for them. The people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulder. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Eternal gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. So they didn't just go out a vagabond, ragtag bunch. They went out a rich people. A new nation was being formed by this mighty miracle. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. So you're talking at least a couple of million people in all. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle or livestock. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry. Neither had they prepared for themselves any victual, a symbolism for the requirement to come out. When we come to the knowledge of God's truth, when we're offered a way out of slavery of this world, God wants us to be urgent to come out. He doesn't want us to dawdle, to tarry. So that's what this unleavened bread pictures. Yes, bread of affliction, but also bread of haste. You don't have time to wait for it to rise. You mix it up, you bake it, and you eat it, and you go. He wants us to be hasty to come out of sin. Verse 40, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. When do we count it from? Very likely from the time that God first called Abraham to come out of his homeland and to wander through the promised land as a vagabond. Now, he was a rich vagabond. God blessed him with incredible wealth, and yet he was still a sojourner the majority of his life. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Eternal went up from the land of Egypt. You see, the timing of God is always perfect. It is precise. 430 years to the day. You think that was an accident? Or do you think God planned it? Yes, he indeed planned it. Which means although the children of Israel over 200 years in slavery under the hard bondage of taskmasters who hated them, they wanted salvation sooner. God said, my plan is perfect. I've heard your crying and your suffering, and I love you, and I care about you, and I am going to set you free, but you need to wait. You need to be patient, because this plan is being executed according to the perfect timing of a master plan. And so when it finally was time, and 24 hours after the Passover, when the firstborn were killed, when the Israelites walked out of Egypt, free people under God, they saw the fulfillment of it. Verse 42, it is a night to be much observed unto the Eternal for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Eternal to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And so he made that as an example for you and me so that we would have hope in our own walk out of spiritual slavery. God will fulfill every promise. He always has, he always will, and he's going to do it right on time. Our requirement is to wait patiently, never to doubt him, and all the while to be truly thankful for every blessing that we have today, including our calling out of spiritual Egypt to the freedom of his blessed way of life. Do you have much to celebrate tonight? You absolutely do. Wherever you are around the face of the globe, in the midst of a large gathering tonight for this banquet feast, or even some of you who are by yourselves. You have much to celebrate because of your role in the glorious plan of God. You are spiritual Israelites. You have been offered salvation, freedom from the bonds of slavery, an incredible future in the very family of God, His promised land. May you all be blessed during the 7-day Feast of Unleavened Bread.
The Church of God the Eternal has just presented God Required Them to Wait, a message by Mr. John Brisby for The Night to Be Much Observed, April 8th, 2020.